Indeed it does, and we thank you so much here for being with us. Want to touch on something while I was fresh on everyone's mind as we were talking about the NFL owners' meetings. I had mentioned it would have been nice if Cap could have been at the forefront of what they did today. Malcolm Jenkins told ESPN Colin Kaepernick was invited to today's meetings with Goodell and the NFL owners, but didn't attend. Mm-mm. Malcolm Jenkins didn't know why. Just so everybody doesn't think I have my head firmly planted up my butt, this is a huge mistake. Like, why wasn't he that? He could this. This was big for the whole movement, man. He should have been there.
I agree. And when you said it yesterday, he's like, when you said, you know, it'd be a perfect person to be there, be Kaepernick. And I thought he would be. And then if he was invited and didn't show.
Now there's the lawsuit at play, the collusion lawsuit, which the NFL Players Association is firmly behind. And they're even without, I guess, his request, they're going to work with him. And this is. A texter brought this to my attention. I had to look it up. This is a huge mistake on his part.
I think it is, too.
This is an absolutely giant mistake. He should be at the forefront of this because today was a big positive for the movement that he set in motion 14 months ago.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked more so a couple of weeks ago or even a couple of months ago, like, hey, I want to hear from Kaepernick. You kind of felt, well, he certainly doesn't owe it to any of us. I kind of wanted to hear from him a little bit less than way more so now. And questions like, why didn't you want to go to this? Is it because of the lawsuit, this grievance? Now, what else do you have there? Do you still want to play football? How close have you been? Have other teams really contacted you? Have they not? I mean, just all that. I'm just curious on a lot of things from him right now.
There's a lot of baggage that goes along with this dude, and there's a lot of baggage that goes along with supporting this guy. And it, you know, huge miss that you didn't vote. And that pissed a lot of people off,
right?
Even just the perception of not voting. Because in my eyes, no matter what you think, like when the election rolls around in 3 years, when the midterms roll around, you lose. If you vote and things don't go your way, you can still bitch and complain all you want.
Mm-hmm.
You don't vote, you lose the right to bitch. Keep your mouth shut for the next 4 years.
Right.
If you didn't partake in this election, don't say anything about Donald Trump being the president. Or whoever is the next president, or whoever after that, or whoever after that. If you don't vote, you lose the right to talk. But I look past that. And I look past, you know, the socks, whatever, the T-shirt. When he wore the Castro T-shirt and I heard him explain it, it was like, bro, I'm not sure you have a full grasp of this individual that you're talking about. But this right here, you had the chance to do something really positive that I think would have been looked at universally as, okay, you did something good here. Now, you would have to set aside the fact that you're not employed with the NFL. You would have had to set aside what appears to be some bitter feelings towards NFL owners. But this was a win, and you could have been there at the front of it, and you weren't. Instead, Malcolm Jenkins is. Instead, Doug Baldwin is. Instead, Anquan Boldin. He doesn't have a team either.
Right.
He's at the forefront of this. This was a huge mistake.
I think it's a missed opportunity.
Be clear, without knowing the reasons as to why he wasn't there, on the surface, to me, this is a big mistake on his part. Really, really big for the overall movement. And it could take Malcolm, you know, if I could pick someone who I respect their opinion and the way that they talk and the things that they've presented, if Cap's unwilling to show up, put Doug Baldwin up there. Let Doug Baldwin, who signed his name next to Roger Goodell's on that letter that went to Senate reform today, put him up there.
Yeah.
That's really, really, really disappointing. Really, really disappointing to read. There is another owner's meeting that has taken place sometime today. Any news comes out of that, we'll certainly bring it to you. Don't expect much. I think the bulk of what people were looking at, maybe they'll rule on something regarding the national anthem, whether the players signed off on that or agreed to not collectively bargain that, whatever that may be. There wasn't anything specific said regarding that coming out of the meeting other than the standard line of all of our players, owners, teams respect the flag and the anthem and military and all of that stuff. So that's what we got there. That was brought to my attention on the text line here at 44-1140. Greatly appreciate that. Gave us a couple of seconds here to look it up and get the exact quote from Malcolm Jenkins. So I wanted to make sure we got that to you. We got the TV on in front of us. Baseball first pitch, what did you say, about an hour?
Yeah, over an hour.
Am I going to have your attention in the 2 o'clock hour? Or?
What's that?
Yep, thanks. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to have tickets, I know, in the 2 o'clock hour for Sac State football. I know that'll get your attention. And Garrett Temple, on the eve of the 2017-18 Sacramento Kings season, will be with us at 2:45.
Is that when we tell him we have him going for MVP?
Yeah.
We have the GT for MVP.
Yeah, we do that. It's running.
I like it.
If we have Garrett Temple for MVP, we should probably have him leading the team in scoring.
Okay.
Or spiritual MVP.
Yes, all of the above.
One or the other.
Yeah.
We'll have some crazy NBA predictions, not as crazy as Garrett Temple for MVP, but we'll have some crazy NBA predictions, including, and you can jump in on this one as well, who's going to lead the Kings in scoring this year? We did it after DeMarcus Cousins left, and it was difficult, man, and I don't even remember what we said. I don't remember what the answer was. But now we have 82 games to try to find out who's going to be the leading scorer. You could jump in and be a part of that here this hour, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. One small thought now with week 6 of the NFL season in the books. J-Ross, we got the NFC. I'll lead us off.
Okay.
NFC North.
Got it.
We'll start with the Packers because they've been the talk of the NFL for all of the wrong reasons since Sunday. But this is a famous place for backup quarterbacks, right? Aaron Rodgers was a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're 4-2. My one small thought, you might be okay to get to the playoffs at least. I don't know how much further you're going to get past that, but the division is questionable. It's not awful by any stretch, but it's questionable. McCarthy seems to be both very happy and comfortable with his quarterbacks. He also seems to be very frustrated anytime he's asked a question about a quarterback, but we had heard for at least a year and a half that the Packers really like Brett Hundley there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know anything about him, 6'3", 226, drafted fifth round 2015 out of?
UCLA.
So, hey, you might be all right. I wouldn't turn the lights out on the Packers season yet. Maybe you dim the lights on their Super Bowl hopes.
Yeah.
But in terms of making the playoffs, they're 4-2 right now in a rocky division. I wouldn't shut them out yet. I'm going all Casey Kasem on Case Keenum. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. That's my one small thought for the Minnesota Vikings. In a week of really bad quarterback play, and we'll talk about that at 2 o'clock, he was very good. And he's been good since taking over Sam Bradford. I know he listens because I killed him and it motivated him. Mm-hmm. I was talking about how terrible he was. And he used our words as motivation. And barring any injury, I don't think Sam Bradford is going to play quarterback for the Vikings again. Not just this year, but his contract is up. I don't think he's going to play quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings again this year or period. And I think the only question is, what do you do with Teddy Ballgame? Because he's back, he's practicing, he's been cleared. Do you just roll with Case Keenum? Do you commit to playing Case Keenum the rest of the year? Or does Teddy Bridgewater have a chance to win his job back? I think that's a compelling storyline here in the NFC North. The Lions, it ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye. You can't lose when you have a bye.
Oh, okay.
So they're on the bye.
You were saying bye to them.
Nope. Okay. You can't lose when you got a bye. They were down 35. They scored 28 straight. If they had come back and won that game, would you have been surprised?
No, that's what they do.
It's what they do. They're 3-3, and I would rank them, if you were to rank confusing teams in the league, the Lions would be, I think they'd be top five. They might be top three. Every once in a while, they got a pretty damn good run game.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford's still a fine quarterback. He's made something out of his receiving core post Calvin Johnson. They were good last year. They appeared to be good this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some games their defense
suddenly,
is good.
And then now
yeah.
suddenly they stink.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears, it's all about Mitches and Hoes. Hear me out.
Yes.
Mitches and Hoes. Jordan Howard. Howard is the Howard, like Howard Hoes.
Oh,
see
gotcha,
what I did there?
Gotcha.
Mitches and Hoes.
All right.
Okay, how about this one?
Yeah.
Run this, Mitch.
Nice.
Huh? How about that one? Huh? Chris is shaking his head. Go, shut up, Chris. Jordan Howard, he's fifth in the league in rushing. You rely on Mitchell Trubisky and Jordan Howard to be your anchors. Mitch has been just fine, but he's been relying on Jordan Howard. Stick with that formula because it worked for you this past weekend.
Yeah.
He's fifth right now in the league. They got Carolina coming up this weekend. Their defense, they're back to that Carolina style defense. They're back to being very good, which means you're gonna have to run Jordan Howard a lot. I think he's fifth right now. By the time we come back next Monday, he could be as high as third in the league in rushing because they're gonna have to go to him. Otherwise, that Carolina defense is gonna tee off on Mitchell Trubisky. And you can't have that. And we're going to have more on Mitchell Trubisky and him getting teed off on coming up in the 2 o'clock hour.
All right. I got the NFC South. So my one small thought for this division or for the teams in this division, and we go first with the Atlanta Falcons. And their statement is, would the AFC just leave us alone? The AFC East, I mean. Two straight losses to the Bills and then to the Dolphins, and now they still play the rest of the division. That means they've got New England and the New York Jets. Of course, their last loss before these two was the Super Bowl, the AFC East, New England. So Falcons would like to forget that. They will get reminded of that Sunday, obviously, the Super Bowl loss when they head to Foxborough to meet the Patriots. It's the Super Bowl rematch. I don't know how everybody feels about it. Patriots haven't been as good. Falcons haven't been as good. They're a little bit puzzling. I think they're still a good team, but at 3-2, we know it could be a team that's 1-4 if things didn't go that way. But they have had trouble so far with the AFC East, losing the first two and two more to go against the East. All right, Carolina Panthers, my one small thought, you're doing it wrong. And this is for a first-place team. And the way I say this is you're doing it wrong because their splits are weird. They are undefeated on the road.
Okay.
And two losses at home. I mean, it's 3-0 home, a 3-0 road, 1-2 at home.
Not how it works, guys.
No, they'll still take the 4-2 start. That's great. They just need to keep the road trend going this week when they go to Chicago. And that shouldn't be a problem for them, but you never know. It's the NFL, and if Trubisky plays well. But if Carolina does win that, 5-2 through seven games, I don't know that a lot of people thought that was happening. So, you know, even with that loss last week on Thursday night to Philly, they played well, but a loss. But still, things are still going pretty well for Carolina. My next one, the New Orleans Saints. One small thought for them. Can a road trip to Lambeau be an unexpected win? When the schedule comes out, you're thinking, eh, that's going to be tough. But we're also thinking Breeze versus Rodgers. Well, we don't get that now. They get fortunate, at least we think, with Hundley being in there over Aaron Rodgers. They just need to add on to that. They have won three straight. We'll see if they can make it four straight. And then all of a sudden, maybe become a thing in the NFC. And then the last one, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One small thought for them, and to me this hinges their whole thing. Will Jameis play? He's never missed a game. He's never missed a start. He left last game. He started all 37 games of his career. Fitzpatrick apparently is going to get a lot of the reps this week, but all eyes will be on Jameis. And a big game for them in a sense that they really need to get it and get back kind of into the mix of the division. I still think it's a pretty good team. I feel like they've slightly underachieved right now at 2-3. Certainly not buried, but they are going the wrong way with losing their last two, and I think a lot of it will hinge on whether or not Jameis plays.
Yeah, they keep pushing. He's going to play through it. That's a team that's really – talk about confusing.
Yeah, I'll put them on that list.
Yeah, they're on that list. I don't know that they're higher than the Lions because they still have some walls to break down, walls that we've seen the Lions break down. But there, you just watch them. It's like, oh, what are you guys doing? Now if you're playing with a hobbled Jameis Winston – that's not going to work out for you. Let's move to the NFC East here. One small thought. Jay Ross, we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys coming off their bye. You're going to have to tune out the distractions because you got a lot of them. You got Zeke, who it appears he's still suspended. I'm starting to get the feeling he might not play for the next 6 weeks. I'm actually starting to lose track of Fifth Circuit Court hearings. I'm losing track of them. I know there's still
an interest.
One more, very much so. There's one more out there that Zeke's people are still holding on to. Something was overruled today. So as of right now, this moment, 1:15 on Tuesday, October 17th, Ezekiel Elliott is still suspended. So you got that distraction. You got Jerry Jones. You got anthems. You got flags. You got all of that stuff, and it's all very distracting. Still got a very good quarterback. And you shouldn't be afraid to give the ball to Alfred Morris. You're going into Santa Clara this week. That's a game that not only you should win, but you have to win. And if you have any shot at surviving this 6 weeks without Ezekiel Elliott, or what appears to be 6 weeks without Ezekiel Elliott, you better get off to a good start Sunday in Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. New York Giants, well, you got your first one. How about this? What have you run for me lately? Huh? Ooh.
Well done.
Ooh, yeah. The Giants came in with the 23rd ranked running game. They had a fantastic running game this week. 148 yards, including a 117 yards on 21 carries from Orleans Darkwa. It's whatever. It worked. Do it again.
Yeah.
Whatever you were doing before didn't work. If Darkwa works, do it again.
Yep.
That's you got your first win. You can't start a winning streak without one. Check out these numbers. 1-3-3. Philadelphia Eagles, 1-3-3. Carson Wentz, 133 rushing yards. Strangely enough, Carson Wentz, his touchdown to interception ratio, 13-3. Mm-hmm. Everything centers around the 1, the 3, in the three.
Nice.
I don't know how much more I can say on the Philadelphia Eagles. I am super high on them.
That's
I love
team.
The way that they play, which feels sickening.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to be a Cowboy fan, but that's how disgusted I am with Jerry Jones and everything that's going on there, is I'm buying into what Philadelphia is doing. But, no, I'm trying not to be a clown, and I'm putting my fandom aside and recognizing I think these Eagles are really good.
I do, too.
And with your boy out, come on, jump.
Yep.
There's room. Wentz wagon, plenty of room. You can jump on. I'm willing to let you on the class of the NFC if you want in on that Wentz wagon bandwagon. And they got a hell of a Monday night game against this team, Washington. We went Janet Jackson earlier. Let's go Bobby Brown. If it ain't good enough, I'll work harder. And they're going to have to. They were good enough to beat the 49ers. That performance isn't going to be good enough to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to have to work significantly harder. Still impressed by what Kirk Cousins is doing. I told you going into the year, I wasn't sure where they were going to go. Or, excuse me, I wasn't sure what direction Kirk Cousins was going to go.
Yeah.
Because I felt like he didn't have anything to play for. I think he's going to get a contract, regardless of how he plays, that makes him the richest quarterback in the history of the NFL. If he stinks for the next 7, 8, 9 weeks, I think he still gets that. Whether it's from the San Francisco 49ers, whether it's from a different team, or whether it's from Washington, I think he's going to get that. They're going to have to find a consistent running game, but I'm looking forward to the NFC matchup, NFC East matchup coming up on Monday night.
All right, well, they close things out with the NFC West, and we start with the Arizona Cardinals. AP all day. No?
AP!
But does he have more than one day in him? I mean, I thought he could do what he did last week or was capable of something like that. I do think there is more in him. The big question is, how consistent will he be? Certainly a great debut. Can we also put Arizona on your list of confusing teams? Or would you say they're not confusing? Because they're 3-3. I was looking at this. They're 3-3. Their next three games, Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks. So all in division. If it went great.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're 6-3. They'll have swept the Niners. They'd be up on the Rams, up on the Seahawks. Now, that's looking optimistically for them, but I just feel like they're trending for 8-8.
I don't know what you'd I think if I did one small thought on Arizona every week, it would always be, okay, what's next?
Right.
Like, even if they keep winning, it's like, okay, best scenario, right, they go out and win a Super Bowl. Okay, great. I'm guessing at least two of those three old guys retire.
Yeah,
maybe
least,
all
yeah.
three of them.
Yeah.
I think only two, but maybe all three. But what's next? What is your succession plan?
Yeah.
And that's what and I know you can't tell a team, well, you don't want to win games. You don't want to go out there and win now. But I'll put them on the list of confusing teams. So we got the Lions, the Cards. Who was the other team? The Bucks.
The Bucks. Yeah, and I think Peterson, you have to take what he did for you. But in the end, if Johnson comes back – then are we talking about another guy that's out of place? I mean, you could try to utilize both, but David Johnson would be your guy, right? If he came back this season?
Yeah.
Yeah. With a question? Yeah.
I mean, just with
the long term, for AD.
I mean, what if AD has 100 Sunday?
No, then something's
and then
going right.
130 the next week. I mean,
that's true. I guess you ride the hot hand.
You go with two? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many carries did I don't remember. It
was
20 plus. Was it 20 plus?
Okay.
I know you wanted 15. I know you wanted over 15. You wanted 15 and 85, and you got significantly more than that. But
and a couple of scores.
You know, maybe in 6 weeks that 18 becomes a lot harder.
Yeah. That's
however
true.
Many it was. Maybe, you know, you can utilize David Johnson there. I'm not sure.
All right, next up, the LA Rams. My one small thought for them is you're doing it wrong. Part two.
Oh my gosh, there's two parts to you're doing it wrong.
Well, they're doing the same thing as the Panthers. They're perfect on the road, which is great. That's awesome. But they are having the tough time at home, just 1-2. But the good news again, for them, they're still first in the NFC West. This is the NFL's highest scoring offense. And this is the division that they've got, or the division battle this week is the Cardinals. If they can get another win, and you're kind of looking at it from the Cardinals' perspective now, from the Rams' perspective, and then the bye week, I mean, this team would be off to an excellent start, feeling good, getting some rest, and seeing what they could do if they can get out to a 5-2 start. Seattle Seahawks. My one small thought for them is this the time that Seattle makes the jump? We're all kind of waiting. We think there's a lot of potential. We think they're pretty good. Well, they had a bye week last week. They've won two in a row, and this may be the time that they continue things to thrive in their direction. They travel across country to face an injured Giants team, so things are good for the moment right now for Seattle, and I think they might sneak in and get a few more wins here, and then all of a sudden we'll look at them and go, yeah, they are one of the better teams in the NFC. And then the last one, my one small thought for the San Francisco 49ers, let's see what CJ can do. Okay. And they made the switch. They made the change at quarterback. Five straight close losses. This team competes. There's something to be said about that. But switching at quarterback, Beathard gets the nod, and we'll get his chance to see if he can be a part of the 49ers' future. I mean, he was drafted out of Iowa last year. He showed flashes against Washington. He'll get more of a look this week against the Cowboys. And, you know, they're building. They really are. It's tough to go through the losses if you're Shanahan, but I don't feel like they're in shambles, if that makes sense.
I don't think so either.
And
their running game is.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating because
that's going to help either quarterback.
Right, exactly.
And then I'm a little curious about the move about Bowman. I really am. I mean, hopefully the Raiders benefit out of that, but I still personally think he could play a little bit too. And so that's a little bit strange, but I think by and large what the organization has done, they've had a plan. You can agree or disagree, but there's not a lot of waffling. They're just kind of going in a direction that they hope will long-term be productive. It's just right now they've got to go through the tough times.
If I'm a 49er fan, I'm comfortable. It's not fun. It's not fun to lose week after week. It's not fun to lose close. It could be significantly worse. They could be Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they're not. Where is Cleveland going? You can look at San Francisco and feel like they brought in, I think, 4,000 free agents. And they have a team made up of Navarro Bowman was the last to go. Like, that was it. And I think that was one of the things that I know a lot of 49er fans, including us, not being 49er fans, but just being fans of football, he's got some legs.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be able to help the Raiders, if anything can help that defense. I think he's going to be able to. But they want a clean slate. They're wiping everything out, and they're going in the direction that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch want them to go. Where's Cleveland going?
Right.
Well, except to another new coach and probably another new quarterback next year.
Yeah, I think the Niners' difficult decision coming up, and I don't know how you would approach it, Damian, would be this. It's, are they better off, no matter what their record ends up being this year, it's not going to be very good, going after Kirk Cousins or someone that's established like that and drafting early a running back, receiver, you know, the other skill players to go with him, or longer term saying, no, we're not going after Kirk Cousins. We're going after pick your college quarterback that they're going to draft early and then find the other skill players.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Can we go back to what we started the 1 o'clock hour with?
Yeah.
This is Mark Gragos, Colin Kaepernick's attorney. His statement, Colin Kaepernick was not invited to attend today's meeting by any official from the NFL or any team executives. Players wanted him present and have asked that he attend the next meeting with the goal of forging a lasting and faithful consensus around these issues. Mr. Kaepernick is open to future participation on these important discussions. What?
Okay.
So did Malcolm Jenkins invite him and Cap, like, what?
Did he need a formal invite from the NFL? I don't know.
Well, I don't know that he could just show up to an NFL meeting without being invited by the NFL. I don't know if Malcolm Jenkins inviting him is the same as
What'd you say
Goodell.
About Bolden, though?
Bolden?
Anquan Bolden? Did you say something about him earlier?
Yeah, he was invited.
By the league?
By the league.
Okay.
This is worded as Colin Kaepernick was not invited to attend today's meeting by any official from the NFL or any team executives. Other players wanted him present and have asked that he attend the next meeting.
All right, can I play lawyer speak here? Is Garagos going, hey, this also feeds into the narrative of the grievance?
Probably.
Like, hey, look, I'm not wanted.
When we said what we had to about Cap earlier, part of it was, well, maybe there's this, but if he was invited, he needed to be there. Okay, apparently he wasn't. I don't know. Who knows? The worst.
Yeah.
This is the absolute worst story ever, and we're moving on from it because we got the NBA tonight.
Yes, we do.
And we got crazy NBA predictions. Both Zach Lowe's, yours, mine. We got all that as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Exchanging some messages here on the text line regarding another number of topics. There's this one in here that says, I need more public dumping on your boy, Rick Pitino. We need a I didn't know segment.
Yeah.
That could probably be daily.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I had no idea that.
I didn't know. I wasn't aware.
I wasn't in charge of the strippers. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure. Oh, I didn't know that was my equipment manager's wife. I didn't know. It took all of 15 seconds. That's how long my affair with her was. He actually said that in court.
I know. Never mind.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll leave that one out.
Yep, you should. Yep. We got Sac State tickets. They're going to be taking on Northern Colorado on November 4th. We're going to have those coming up for you in the 2 o'clock hour. Also, on the eve of the start of the 2017-18 Sacramento Kings season, Garrett Temple is going to join us at 2:45. So a packed final hour coming up at 2, including winners and losers of Week 6 in the NFL season. Let's stick with basketball because we're all very excited. I know just judging from the text line here, we can open up the phones here, too, for the remainder of this hour. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, if you want to jump in. Cavs, Celtics tonight, Warriors, Rockets tonight. Zach Lowe made some crazy predictions, Jay Ross. We'll make some crazy predictions of our own. Some of these I don't find to be so crazy, though. Golden State wins 70. I think that's a crazy prediction.
I think it's very possible.
I think it's very possible that it just happens with no fanfare.
Yeah, organically, they just, like I said, they rip off 8 in a row, lose a game, win 14, lose a game.
Yep.
That's kind of what they do.
I don't find that to be a stretch at all. What about this one? Houston finishing second in the Western Conference.
I have Houston finishing second in the Western Conference.
I do not.
Okay.
I have OK 3.
Okay.
Oklahoma City. I got them finishing second. Close. It's going to be real, real close. 2, 3, and 4, I think, are going to be really close. I don't know what to think about San Antonio.
I don't either.
You never underestimate San Antonio.
No.
They just resigned LaMarcus Aldridge. But I don't think Kawhi Leonard is playing tomorrow.
Right.
And I don't know how hurt Kawhi Leonard is.
Yeah, and implementing Rudy, who I've heard they really like, and that's going to be a good fit for them. But just their stars that carried him for so long are getting older. I mean, legitimately now, it's where Manu, what does he have left? Tony Parker, what does he have left? So now you're counting on the next wave, and I don't think the next wave is Kawhi. But the other part of it is, you know, Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, nice players, but not – not the higher level. So I could see a little bit of a drop-off for the Spurs, though they're so well coached.
But what, like 57 wins
drop-off? Yeah, but like were you – last year they were so good and good enough where you go, could they bother the Warriors? And then it, you know, they're up big and they got hurt and it was never a thing. I don't think they'll really be a threat to win the West.
We never got to see it. That's really frustrating. Here's another prediction, and it ties into that conversation right there, Kawhi Leonard winning the MVP.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either, and part of it is because he's not starting the season.
Yeah, and
I don't think he is.
And we're also okay. Let's take his first prediction of 70 wins for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. How is it not a Warrior? And I don't know what that looks like
fatigue.
At 70.
Fatigue.
But Durant wouldn't be.
That's my MVP pick right there.
Yeah.
My MVP pick is Kevin Durant.
And so, I mean, 70, somebody's doing something great. I know the whole team is good, but somebody's doing something of significance there or historic or record-breaking. And, you know, if you and I are on the same page where maybe the Spurs are third or fourth, it's harder to do that unless you did what Russell Westbrook did last year. And I don't think Kawhi's going to do that.
I don't think anybody's going to do that. Can I guess your MVP pick? Did you make an MVP pick?
I didn't, but I have a good one.
James Harden?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's the same as you.
Oh, it's Kevin Durant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
See? Great minds.
Yeah.
How about that? The Pelicans?
Though, John Wall, I really wanted to pull the trigger on that. I just don't know if they're going to – his will stand out above a team that wins 68, 70 wins like that.
Well, here, let's intertwine our crazy predictions with Zach Lowe's crazy predictions. This is mine, and you can argue whether it's crazy or not, and this might feed into your potential for John Wall winning the MVP. I got Washington finishing second, not Boston.
Okay.
And I have Cleveland winning.
Mm-hmm.
I have Cleveland winning the East. I don't think they cakewalk through like they did last year. I think they feel like they have a point to prove. And I think when LeBron is motivated, there's no one better in the entire league than him. He's going to have another, as he does year after year after year, MVP caliber year. I just don't know that it has to be a damn near 40-point Russell Westbrook type triple-double type season for him to win the MVP, I think.
Right.
But I think Cleveland wins the East and Washington finishes second. So if Washington finishes second, John Wall is absolutely in the conversation, I think, for MVP.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The Pelicans, this is another one of Zach Lowe's crazy predictions. We talked about this earlier. He's going in a totally different direction than I was. And you are, I think. The Pelicans are going to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins.
I feel like there's no chance of that.
No chance in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that either. I have all sorts of scenarios worked out for Boogie. LeBron James leaves Cleveland, yes or no? That's a Zach Lowe prediction.
I'm still leaning towards no, without not a strong feel. I know you're going to have something on that later, but I feel like it makes more sense for him to stay there.
I don't think he leaves. Here's my scenario for Cleveland I was hinting at earlier. LeBron James stays. Dwayne Wade signs one more year. The Cavs are able to get rid of Tristan Thompson, free up some cash, and the point guard comes in. Obviously, IT's not in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul.
Okay.
There's your banana boat. That's the banana boat right there. D-Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Paul in Cleveland.
I could see
Carmelo.
That. Yeah.
No Carmelo.
No, yeah.
Carmelo
sorry.
Doesn't happen.
Carmelo
hits so,
your
sorry.
Own thing. Again.
Stay, you know, Houston, build, do whatever you're doing in Houston. But, yeah, he's not going to be a part of that bunch. It'll be those three.
Yeah, I could see that scenario. I don't think that's crazy either.
I don't think Tristan Thompson finishes the year as a Cleveland Cavalier either.
I agree. I think the whole thing to watch to me, honestly, I think DeMarcus Cousins is a you know, tip the scale one way or another for a team. And a lot of times I could say it could be in a negative way, mm-hmm. but not in this case. I think in the short term of a mid-season trade deadline move, just like it was last year, but that wasn't done for specifically last year. It was hopefully done for them. Well, a little bit of a push for the Pelicans and then hopefully for this year. I just don't think they have enough, and they didn't give him enough shooters around him and Davis. So I could see him being moved in the final couple of months of a deal and switching it. Houston, we had a text earlier.
Yep.
Cleveland, someone else that feels like they're really, really close, and they would add him and go for it.
A situation Washington. Where you move them both. Can you see one?
Mm-mm.
You don't think they move Davis at all?
I don't. Davis is the summertime major overhaul. Like, we're getting a lot of pieces as opposed to, hey, I don't know if I'm just – like, DeMarcus can be moved just because of contract.
I think DeMarcus shifts the scales if he's moved to Cleveland. It's really interesting if he moves to Houston, but I don't know that he shifts the scales if he's moved to Houston.
Yeah.
If Anthony Davis is moved to Houston, then I think we're talking about Golden State potentially not being the favorite in the Western Conference anymore.
Yeah.
Because Anthony Davis has a skill set that he does some things, I think, better than DeMarcus does. And I think they fit the Houston – or, I'm sorry, I think they fit what we believe the Houston system will be. If it's anything like last year, you mentioned they're going to shoot 53s regularly.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be right. And I know DeMarcus likes to shoot them, but Anthony Davis, I think, can do it a little bit better.
Okay.
And I think he's more willing to run up and down the floor. As Sacramento Kings fans know, that's not necessarily DeMarcus' strong suit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's different if he has a chance to win a title. More crazy predictions. We got some coming in here right now, including Mike, his pick for MVP. It's a different one. I'll tell you who it is when we're back on the lowdown. Garrett Temple, your Sacramento Kings, coming up 1 hour from now. Winners and losers of Week 6 in the NFL season coming up in about 13 minutes. Plus, we'll take a quick look at Week 7 of the NFL season, and it starts Thursday night. I don't have to remind you. Your Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. Here on the text line, lots of fun predictions coming in here. Mike's got one for MVP. He's got that Mamba mentality. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I've seen that one floated around.
It's tough to win MVP. Yeah, it's tough to win MVP unless you do something historic. And there was still question about whether Russell Westbrook was going to win last year,
right,
despite how historic he was. And reminder, it wasn't close. It wasn't nearly as close as we thought it was. He pretty much ran away with it. I don't know what Giannis could do aside from the Bucks finishing second in the Eastern Conference or potentially first, which, no.
And what he did last year was kind of unique in the fact that he led the team in every of the five, you know, points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. It was great. But
it's the Bucks.
They all have to increase, and they have to win more and all that. I got one for you.
Okay.
Klay, Blake Griffin, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, I need to write this down, okay?
Jimmy Butler, Paul Millsap.
That's a lot of names.
So Klay, Blake, Butler, Carmelo, Paul George, Millsap, and maybe a couple others who are all regulars in the All-Star game.
Okay.
Not there this year.
Whoa.
I mean, how can they be?
Yeah.
I was just starting to look
because they
at
just
this.
Changed. Well, they just changed a couple of them changed conferences.
Look at this list. I was really thinking about this the other day. Just potential people that are always in the conversation for All-Stars. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Gasol, Conley, Millsap, Jokic, Gobert, Blake, Lillard, Butler, Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, Carmelo, Paul George, Russ, Westbrook, KD, Curry, Klay, Draymond, Paul, Harden, Kawhi. And then you've still got, like, kind of the bottom teams. Can Booker do something significant? There's just – you can't fit them all. I mean, the West is going to have some regulars. Dirk is a long-time All-Star. I mean, he won't be there, I don't think. So there's a lot of regulars that are going to be left out.
Let's give you some Kings predictions here coming from the text line. You could throw yours in. In fact, we encourage you to. We'd love to hear them here on the eve of the start of the Kings season. We'll do some more of this tomorrow as well. 44-11-40. Top scorer, De'Aaron Fox at 19.7 points per game. Top rebounder, Z-Bo, wow, at 12.9. Top assist, George Hill at 7.5. Six-man, Frank Mason. Kings record. 39-43.
Whoa. Okay. I'd take that right now.
That is an optimistic season.
Yeah.
I don't think 39 is nuts. I think it's high, but I don't think it's crazy. I think it's too high, but I don't think it's any more than 5 or 6 games too high.
Wow. Okay.
They got it. I know they're going to lose a lot.
They won 32 last year, so.
So 3-4 games better.
Okay. Because they're better. Continuity. The cohesiveness of the group.
Yeah. That alone.
Okay.
And I think the veteran presence is going to, I think, you know, Scal, Willie, I think they're going to be able to score on night. You know, Scal often was like 8 of 12. What if that 8 of 12, you know, becomes, when he doesn't, I'm not saying he does this nightly,
yeah,
becomes 11 of 17 or 11 of 18 or something like that, where he's still efficient, he's just getting more shots. You have 3 or 4 nights this year where, you know, Vince Carter rewinds, you know, the clock 20 years.
Yeah.
We've seen him do it. He can do it. He's capable of doing
it. Sure.
Maybe he does it here at the Golden 1 Center. Maybe he does it on the road. I don't know. 32 wins last year?
Correct.
I don't think saying 35 or 36 is a stretch. 39, that's a lot, but I don't think it's nuts, but I think it's a lot.
I think it's higher than most people have them, though. I think 39 is, but even 35 or 36 I think is higher.
But I think it's only a little bit higher.
Yeah. I mean, they could have won a few more games last year, obviously.
Who do I have? I have someone's projections. USA Today has them at 31.
Okay.
Did
you answer your pick for who's going to lead them in scoring?
The Kings, I did not.
Okay.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I think there's three. Well, I'll tell you who I think candidates.
The one who I talked myself out of Willie, mm-hmm, and I talked myself out of Scal, because I don't think either one of those. I don't think Scal's going to shoot enough to lead the league in scoring.
I don't have either of them.
The name I kept going back to was Buddy.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like looking at it as thoroughly as possible, I have three names. One is Buddy Hield. One is actually Zach Randolph.
Okay.
And the other is George Hill. I think those are the three candidates. Fox is an outside chance.
But neither one of us thinks De'Aaron Fox is starting.
Yes, correct. I don't think he will at the beginning of the year. Okay. So, Buddy, that's what he does. He scores. He was the leading scorer, I think, once they traded DeMarcus. But he can score it. He really can. I think he's going to share some minutes, though. George Hill's going to get a lot of minutes. And Zach Randolph, I think, is their most consistent scorer in the front court. Willie can. Scal can. But I think Zach might be the guy.
Got Garrett Temple going for 28 tonight.
Love it.
Can you name how many Atlanta Hawks can you name?
I don't think it's healthy for anybody to name a Hawk. Dennis Schroeder? Kent Bazemore?
I actually was wondering, was Dennis Schroeder traded?
No, he's still there.
Dominic Wilkins?
Yep.
Spud Webb?
Yeah. John Konkak? Yeah.
Dwight Howard's gone?
He's gone.
Paul Millsap's gone?
Marco Bellinelli?
Do they really?
Yeah, he came over.
How many teams has Marco Bellinelli been on since he left the Kings? Is this his third?
I think since he left, just the second.
Oh, just the second?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it's just Charlotte and Atlanta.
What about Bogdan as a leading scorer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to be the Europe.
Yeah,
expert.
I don't know.
I don't know anything.
I would be surprised. I mean, I think what we're going to have is a lot of days we'll come in after a show or after a game and we'll go, wow, Willie was the leading scorer last night with 21. Tonight it was Scal's 19. Here is Buddy 33. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of different people. But it's not DeMarcus showing up getting you 28. I mean, that's not this team this year.
But at the end, someone is leading in scoring.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be closer to about 16 to 17 a game.
Alex P. desperately wants Bogdan to win Rookie of the Year. He's texted that like 7 times, so we'll get that out there for you, Rookie of the Year. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I actually have my Rookie of the Year picked. I haven't given it to you yet. Maybe we'll save that one for tomorrow.
Okay.
because we got winners and losers of week 6 of the NFL season coming up. We got Sac State football tickets. Plus, Garrett Temple joins us in the third and final hour of the Lowdown next.